Jesus. And we can talk about different topics over there. We can talk about love. We can talk about mercy. We can talk about anything else. We are focusing everything in the serving, servant, being a servant. And today, we're going to continue talking a little bit more about serving, because you can see the whole thing of Jesus Christ is serving. And I hope that these scriptures that we're going to share today is going to continue building us, building our hearts and our mind to be like Jesus, to be like Him, leading like Him, which is going to help us in every aspect of our life. So today, like always, I like to open with the scripture. And in Psalm 119, 176, which is the premises of starting the whole series, and also starting talking about these servant topics, which we start with the servant mentality and then serving with conviction last week. And Psalm 119, 176 says, "I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands." And that's the premises. From there we can start. Because if you can see, it says, I get lost, but I got lost. Anyway, I'm asking you with a humble heart, God, I'm a sheep that I don't know how to come back to the flock, and I need your help to please find me and get me back to the track. But then when he starts sharing some information there that is really, for me, revealing the whole servant purpose, it is seek your servant. So he's acknowledging him as a servant. And as we learning in the past, you can be a servant of anything in your life. Anything in your life. Because we have been built by God to serve in Him. But we decide to go to a different path and then start serving other things in our life. But He wants us to get back to the track and serve Him. But the detail over here, it is that he say, "For I have not forgotten your commands." And that's really important to know that, because he say, "I'm a servant because I have not forgotten your commands." And that's how we can start building the whole teaching and learning from God to understand how I can be a servant of God. Well, never forget about his commands. In the Old Testament, we can see and learn more about the Ten Commandments, and we can talk about other law things that he brings to the people. But when we are talking now after Jesus Christ, he just left to you too. And you know those. Love God with all your strength, with all your knowledge, with all your love. And love each other. That's it. With those two, you comply with everything, with the whole law. And according to scripture, we can continue talking about the letters from Paul. And he says that if we do that, we will comply with everything. There's nothing against that. There's no judgment or law against that as far if we can comply with those two commandments. Now, when we start getting out, we're not in compliance of that. And now we're receiving some judgments. But as long as we keep inside of those two commandments, we can be covered and protected, and we can call servants of God. Isaiah 53:6 also says, "We all, like a sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way." It's telling you that each of us decide to go in a different path, not the one he wants us to keep. And this is from the beginning. This is from the Garden of Eden. We know that story. It's the same thing. He already told you a command. He already told you what to do. But then we decide to go to a different path. And today, I just want to continue learning with you guys about dying to serve. Because every single day and second of our life, we have to die ourselves to serve God, to comply with those commandments. We need to continue dying to ourselves so we can serve Him, dying our desires. dying of what we want to do and serve Him in replacement of that. So to learn more the scripture, keeping in mind the definition of servant, we already talked about this in the previous sermon. So in the Hebrew, when we talk about servants, it means the real word in Hebrew is abad, which it means work, serve, plow, cultivate. We have farmers, people here, and you know what is a how to cultivate anything in your life, any other food or anything else. So cultivate, you guys can teach me more than anybody else, but as far as I know, you have to prepare the land correctly so you can get the crop correctly that you need. So the same concept, it is in the meaning of being a servant. Being a servant, you have to prepare the land, the hearts, the mentality of your life, so that way you can receive the crop that God wants us to receive. I'm not just talking about benefits of provisions or financial stuff. I'm also talking about people. We are preparing the land so we can receive the people. Hallelujah. And how we can do that? We have to learn how to die ourselves so that way we can serve Him. And I want to start with Matthew 20. Because we will learn here 2 points today really quick. Number one, will. The will of God versus our will. We know that our will is trying to go to whatever other path or whatever other directions, when the will of God is perfect and it's not going to fail. Anyway, sometimes we do not understand the will of God because we are so attached to this world. And I know we are in the same boat, but we can get better. We can continue getting more in relationship with Him. Matthew 20:20. This story we shared last week, but from Luke's point of view. Luke shared from a different point of view. Now we're looking from the point of view of Matthew. And he says that, then the mother of Zebedee, sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down, asked a favor of Him. What is it you want? And it's the same thing of last week. Now, the point of view of Matthew is that she is asking. In Luke, they were asking. Different point of view, that's it, but it's the same concept. Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I am going to drink? He's talking about suffering. He's talking about dying. Are you going to drink that? Are you willing to die? Because that will be converting your heart to be a servant of God. We can, they answer. Ooh. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the 10 heard, we're talking about the other 10 disciples, heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them, guys, come over here, please sit down, let's just talk about this topic. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Backwards, right? From our understanding over here on the earth. We're always thinking that the rulers are an authority. We are the servants of them. But then Jesus Christ is saying here, no, it's the other way. And we continue talking about that topic in the Bible, like the weak is going to be strong. The first is going to be last. The last is going to be first. And you any way you're a servant, you're going to be an authority. Kind of opposite of what you and I have been learned over here on the earth. But for God, it's different because he wants to have you and me a humble heart so we can do his will. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. In other words, dying, giving his life, dying from his life for many. Thus bringing your hearts to be a servant of God. Now the question it will be, you and I, are we willing to die? And I'm not talking physically, guys, literally. I'm talking about spiritually. Are you willing to die your desires? Are you willing to die from the flesh so that way you can become a servant of God? Between you and God, answer that to him. Now, when we learn more about Matthew 4, 9 and 10, we see over here when the scripture is talking about the temptation that Jesus Christ had in that moment when he was 40 days fasting, and then he was dealing in front of the devil, and the devil present to him all the kingdoms, all the powers, all the authorities of the world and say, I will give you everything if you bow down to me. And Jesus Christ responded to him, how? Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I'm going to leave you this question for you to study. I'm not going to say anything, but I'm going to share a scripture. Hopefully that helps. For you, is there a difference between worshiping and serving? Can you worship and not serve? Can you service and not worship? I'm going to let you to study that. Because Jesus Christ here is saying, for it is written, worship the Lord your God. And he's referring to a commandment from the Old Testament. And serve him only. It looks like he's breaking those two. And I'm just going to share this scripture. Isaiah 29:13. You know this. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. Go home and study that. I don't know if there's a correlation or a separation between worshiping and serving. Because our hearts can be separated from God, and we're still serving to God, physically, externally. We talk about this 100 times. You can externally do something or do some works over here. You're coming every Sunday and help and everything, but your hearts might be out. Your hearts may be off. And God wants your heart. He wants everything. He don't want you to just doing physical stuff and that's it. Literally, stuff, and I'm in compliance because I'm doing external stuff and helping. And I'm not saying don't do that either. It's just do that, but do it with the right heart. Acknowledging him as your Lord and Savior and loving him through loving each other. Matthew 25:40. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Now, the scripture is talking here about when you are doing it to someone else externally here on the earth, you are doing it to God. As far, if you have that heart, that you are doing it for him. You are not doing it for any recognition of you or anyone else. So the Bible is really specific when Jesus Christ says, you see me or you saw me when I was hunger. And you saw me when I was without clothes. You saw me in prison. You saw me and you respond. Because you did it to them, you did it to me. one of them, if you did it to them, you did it to me. So that's a servant heart. Because you know for sure that you're doing it for them because it's for him, indirectly or directly. So anyway, we're doing something external here, job or physical thing, helping and supporting someone in an unfortunate situation, if we have the heart that we are doing it to God or to Jesus Christ, that's the point. Now we are serving him correctly, not with a different heart. Matthew 21, 28, it says, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. And he said, I will not. What will you do? Come on, let's be honest. What? Go and work. What are you doing? I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went by himself. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he didn't. He just stayed home, relax, maybe playing video games. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. Breaking the mentality of everyone over there. Whoa, what are you saying? The tax collectors? Are you saying the prostitutes, they're going to get ahead of us? They're not doing the right thing. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. So the prostitutes and the tax collectors, they saw the righteousness. They saw that from John the Baptist, and they believed. And that's one of the representations of Jesus Christ with one of those sons, that they say, maybe they are not in the right path, but they believe and they want to work. When the father says, I need a servant. I need you to do this work. And you, they are the son that is in here and says, yes, I will. I will. I will go and do the whole serving. But then at the end of the day, I'm not going. Yes, Father God, I'm not going. I will be. And that's the part that we just need to be careful with from our hearts. With which heart are we doing these things? How we are doing, how we are serving others, how we are serving God, how we are serving each other. Because according to Scripture, we need to make sure that our hearts are aligned with God's will. So that way the will of God will be manifested in our life. Jesus Christ teaches us all those things. In Matthew 12:50, the Bible says, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Remember that story? The people, he was doing some miracles, he was doing some deliverance, and the people went over there, hey Jesus, your brothers and sister and mom are outside. They have to wait. Because the people that is doing the will of my Father, they are my brothers and sister and mother. A little bit tough, I guess, for me. Because I don't know what he was trying to say over there about his family. External, literally, on the earth family. We talked about this before, guys. You know that. Salvation is individual. We just need to be worried and make sure to be in compliance with the will of God in our life. Not your will, not my will. Make sure that whatever we're doing as a church, work, mom, father, son, everything you're doing is aligned with his will. And because he's his will, everything will be nice and perfect. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe externally here on the earth, you might be facing some things and you say like, I don't know. It looks like too much. It looks like too difficult. Or it looks like I'm struggling with this situation. That's the will of God. If that's the will of God, you will win. You will go over it. That He will make it simple and easy for you. As long as you are making sure that He is the one leading your will in your life. Sometimes we're thinking like, oh, I have to remove all my will. I say, no, you have to align your will with His will. So that way His will take the position over your will. And that way His will control your will. So that way we can go by His path and we're not going different directions. John 4:34, when the disciple says, Jesus, are you going to eat? He say, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. That's His will. What is your will? Are His will aligned to yours? Are you finishing the job of God in your life or not? Because His will is the one that we need to eat. Is the one that we need to follow. What is food? Food is something that you and I need every day for getting fuel in your life, in your body. And that fuel is allowing you to continue walking, to continue dealing with things and having all this energy inside of you. The will of God is causing that same thing spiritually in your life. You need it. That's your food. That's a spiritual food for you to continue dealing with everything that you are dealing every day. If we are connected with His will. There's a story in Daniel 3, we know this one, about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Thank you. This story is really famous, we know that. But there's some details over here that I want to share with you guys. And it's starting in 3:14, it says that the king Nebu said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of God I have set up? Pay attention, because the king is telling them that you do not serve my gods. Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, cedar, lyre, harp, anything, going through 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Wow. They know who are serving. They have the servant heart to God. I don't need to do anything. I don't have to defend because I'm not doing my will. In other words, I'm doing His will. Pay attention. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. Come on. What kind of heart is that from these guys? But it says, the God we serve. I'm not going to serve your gods, King. I'm going to continue serving my God. I know who He is. I know His will. And I'm letting His will dominate my will. And I know for sure that if you throw me over there, He will deliver us from there. Pay attention to 18. For me, this is beautiful. Because this is why you and me maybe struggle sometimes. But even if He does not, we talked about this last weekend. We like always to get the victory, physically here on the earth. But maybe the victory is different from the point of view of God. From God's will is different. But you have a victory in your mind which is like those kind of powerful victory. But maybe the victory of God is different. And you can see here that this guy say, if you're going to throw me over there, I know for sure he will deliver us. But in the case if he's not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. I'm going to continue serving him. And if it's his will that he's not going to deliver us out of that fire, I'm going to continue worshiping him. I'm going to continue serving him. Hallelujah. And that's the part that I know that you and I, including myself, we struggle a little bit because we always want that victory. We want that miraculous thing. We want, oh man, this is powerful. But if he's not, are you willing to continue serving him? Are you willing to continue worshiping him? I know. I also struggle with that. But we have to continue believing that his will is perfect. And whatever his will is the one, not mine. Because my will maybe will get me to another ego's pride, things that it might be outside of God's will. And then we have to just be careful that our hearts are aligned with his will. Then you know the story, right? They got inside there. It was too hot. Even killed some soldiers from them. And then when we get to the point of 24, he saw over there that there was four person over there. We're talking about three, and there's a fourth one. And they were just protected over there. And then he say, number 26, then the king approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the straps, the satraps, prefects, right? Governors and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads seen. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. So they show you the hearts of a servant, and they say, if you throw me over there, I know he's going to deliver us. If he don't want to deliver us, I'm going to continue serving him and worshiping him. It doesn't matter. He decides to serve. They decide to serve him. They have that in their heart. It doesn't matter for us. And then the conclusion of that, it was that God delivered them out of the fire. So in other words, why we are not just letting his will to control our will and having our hearts of a servant, so God will deliver us out of anything in our life. But just having that servant mentality. And not just the servant as we know over here on the earth, a servant in our hearts, in our mind. In Luke 10, 38-42, Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answer, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. See the correlation? See the distinction over there? There's a difference. This lady was serving him. and serving and serving. I need to have everything set up and organized and everything good to go. And sometimes we are just thinking that we're really doing the right thing. Jesus Christ is over there. And I'm serving him. But did she have the right heart? It's just that connection that we need to have with him, making sure that our hearts are aligned with him. The last point that I want to share with you guys today is surrender. Because in order to get to the point to get will of God in our hearts and controlling our hearts and be a servant of God, we have to surrender. We have to surrender ourselves. We have to give everything so that way we can allow him to control our will. John 7, this is answer. My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Anyone. So it's a selection. You can select that. You can take the will of God, but you have to surrender. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Why? Because I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Perfection. He died for you and for me, not me. So if I'm talking about him, I'm surrendering myself, and now he's the one leading. His will is in my life, and his will is the one that is leading everything that I'm here to supposed to do on the earth. And if I do that, then I'm not seeking glory to myself. I'm going to say this with careful. Please, open your heart and mind. Don't judge. Careful. Okay. We all have testimonies. All of us. And those testimonies are supposed to glorify God. Amen to that. We just need to be careful how we manage the testimonies. Why I'm saying that? Because sometimes, depending on the heart of the person that is sharing the testimony, it's like, you know, the sender and the receiver. Depending on the point of view, perspective, perception. It's just that we need to be careful, because maybe when someone is sharing a testimony, with which heart are you sharing the testimony? To glorify your God or to glorify yourself? I'm saying that with careful. Just make sure that when you are doing that, you're glorifying your God. It's supposed to be God, not other God. I'm saying it based on that scripture. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. This is Jesus Christ's words, not mine. But when you're speaking about him, that's a different story. Now you are glorifying him and not yourself. I'm saying that with careful, because the testimonies is supposed to glorify God. But sometimes when people sharing testimonies, we have to be careful with which heart they're sending the message of the testimony. To glorify themselves or to glorify their God. I hope I say that correctly and understandable, not judging anyone or saying anything against anyone. So, after or before the Passover, the festival, Jesus already knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. That's the moment. That's the picture. Have it over there. He already knows what's going on. Okay, this is the moment. It's happening. We're done. He already knew that Judas was going to betray him. Everything was already there. But pay attention when he says, the Father had put all things together, orchestrated everything under his power. You know what happened after that, right? So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped it up, towel around his waist. After that, he put water into a basin, and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replies, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. Now say, Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, okay, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Nowadays, people will say, oh, he's manipulating. But really, the intent is to make them to understand the servant heart. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but hands and my head as well, because I want to be with you. I want to have a part with you. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean. Please pay attention. Though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. If you do them. If you don't want to do them, I don't know if we can say that you will not be blessed or not, but according to Scripture, it says you will be blessed if you do them. He was setting an example in how we supposed to have a heart of a servant and serve each other. I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. But this is to fulfill this passage of a Scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. This is Jesus Christ sharing to his disciples how to be a servant and how to set an example of what we need to do over here in our life. Not just physically, because again, we can bring a container over here with water and we can put a really soft, nice music, and I can bend on my knees and wash your feet. But how we're doing it, why we're doing it, the will of God is there. My heart is really there. That's the point. The point is just to be connected. Connected our hearts with his heart. I'm going to leave you with this too. 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Pay attention, because Paul is saying over here, I strike a blow to my body. I don't want to do my will. I want to do His will. And that's the way that I train. That's the way that we're supposed to train ourselves for this race that we are running right now. Because after that, and after I have preached to others, I don't want to be disqualified. We are going through this, every one of us. And we just need to make sure that we're not going to get disqualified. So this is going to be a representation of surrendering our life, surrendering ourselves, so that way my body, it will be least or less, and He will be more in me. Exodus 23, chapter 20, verse 24 and 26. The Bible says, do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Worship the Lord, your God, and His blessings will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. And that's the blessing of God in our life. That we can put our body less, surrender, and let Him, His will, to govern our will. So that way we can be a servant. How we can do that? Dying of that flesh, dying ourselves, dying us to be that servant that He wants us to be. Are we willing to do that? I think that's just the only question that we need to ask ourselves. And between you and God, you can answer it to Him. Because being a servant is one thing. Worshiping is another thing. You can worship, and maybe you cannot serve God the way that He wants you to serve. Or maybe you are serving, but you're not worshiping. Or maybe we're serving other gods right now and not serving Him. But doing His will will allow us to serve Him correctly. That's why Jesus Christ, when He was going through that temptation, remember, 40 days without eating anything. And now the devil present to Him everything, all the powers and authorities of the world. And He say, no, the commandment says just worship God and serve Him only. Nothing else, nothing more, just Him only, God. And sometimes we are just getting to that world experiment, if I can call it that way, of life, of work and things. But we can have peace of mind, we can have His love in our hearts anyway we're going through that situation, anyway we're going through those circumstances. And His will prevail or prevail in our life and put us in that position of being a servant. Praise God to that. We worship Him and we love Him. Father God, we love You. We thank You for the blessing and the time to continue learning more about You, learning more how to die our hearts, our mind, our flesh, and from the desires of the things that we have from here, from the earth. And we want Your will to be in our hearts. We want Your will. That Your will is perfect. Your will is the one that it should govern us. So we accept it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we declare it's going to be governed by You. and you are the one leading us, and you are the one teaching us how to lead like Jesus, which is the teaching that he left us over here, that he left as an example, that we need to continue also doing that each other and helping each other and love each other as the same thing, representing that we are loving to you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we worship you, we praise you, and we declare all these things. Amen and amen.
Image after our likeness. And he said, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. He created us. From the very beginning, from Adam and Eve to all of us today, each and every one of us is different. We can have twins born, identical twins that people can't tell them apart from each other, you know, when they're walking around, but their fingerprints are different. You might sound like your child. Your child might sound like you, but we are different in some way. Our spirit, our personality, who we basically are is different. Just think about it. God made you. How many different people did he make over all these years? He is so incredible. He is just so magnificently incredible. Hallelujah. And in his greatness, in his greatness, in his hugeness, in his majesty, he looked down at each and every one of us, unique people, and said, I love them. And I have to do something about them. I have to do something for them. And in John 3, 6, or 18, 16, John 3, 16, the word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Today we celebrate that act, that he gave himself for us. that he died on the cross for us, that we would be saved in our uniqueness and who we are. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Hallelujah. We ask you to bless this token. Bless it to us, Lord God. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Bless this cup. Serve.